Anyway, this week, guys, we're continuing this series about generosity. And I hope last week that you have been challenged. You know, it's kind of interesting just to recap. We talked about this question, when all is said and done, and your life story has been written, my question to you last week is, what will you be remembered for? And one of my heroes, Dr. Danny Gordon, said it so quickly. He said, Andrew, I want to be known as a man of God. I want to be known as an awesome husband. I want to be known as the best dad. And if I live generously, then the rest will look after itself. And we talked about these ideas, guys, of tithes and offerings, because again, so many people come to church and we don't always understand all of the rituals. We're here at Digby Wesley and we try to always let you know what we're doing and sometimes more importantly, why we're doing it. And so we had the big money talk last week, which was interesting, and Larry ducked down a little bit. Everybody saw it, right? He denies it, but his hair is too beautiful to miss. And so Larry kind of ducked down, and he wouldn't make eye contact with me at all, which was kind of interesting. But we talked that, you know what, God is so much bigger than just our cash, isn't he? And there are things that are way more important, hear me on this, way more important than your bank account. And we talked about living a life that was generous. And so I want to continue to read our main passage from last week this morning, because we're going to stay here and camp out here for another Sunday. From Matthew 6, starting to read at verse 19, Jesus says this, "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And jumping down to verse 33, "But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you." Seek first his kingdom. Seek first his righteousness. And we touched on this last week about keeping things in the right order, guys, but I want to do that again because we're still not done there, and you guys will know that I can take a chapter and turn it into an 18-week sermon, so that's the whole deal. But I wanted to ask you this morning as we get going, who are your heroes? Does anybody have a hero you want to shout out? Anybody? No? And I was thinking about this question, like, who are our heroes? As a church, the right question, which makes me really sad, especially because my boss is here, you should have said Jesus. Wow, we need to work on this, people, right? I mean, but that's not the answer I wanted, but that would have been a good one. That would have been a good one, just to shout out Aaron. Jesus! Yeah, don't hesitate, just let it go, right? Larry's back there still thinking about money. He can't talk, right? So who are your heroes? And I was thinking about this question this week, and as a kid, it was kind of funny, because as a kid, there I am coming up. Look at, isn't he cute? I've always been this cute. It's amazing, isn't it? I know. As a kid, my hero was Wolverine, and Spider-Man was a close second. And I think about that. I think about the times that my parents let me run through the woods as a boy, and I had, like, sharp knives, like, duct taped to my hands, right? And the little furry animals that felt the fear of the Wolverine that lived in the house in the woods, right? And I think about those things. But then I was saying, as you grow, a lot of times things change, don't they? And I was thinking about, okay, if my hero was Wolverine when I was a kid, well then, as a teen, I looked back and I said, you know what? As a teen, I thought mostly about Wayne Gretzky and Samantha Fox for very two different reasons. Two very different reasons, right? And I was saying again, that changed again as I became a young man. I looked to people that were mentors to me. People that were older than me, but yet they invested in me like I was one of their best friends. And one of them is Burt Montgomery. He is a saint that loved me. He was my Sunday school teacher, and he will be a hero until we meet again in heaven. Like, Burt Montgomery is one of those guys. Pastor Lloyd Rennie, who's still pastoring the church that when I was a young man, he's still there today, and he's battled cancer, done a whole bunch of things. Pastor Jack Fancy was another one of my heroes when I was a young man. Then I thought, you know, as I got older, things changed again, right? And I seem to focus on those who have gone before me, right? So some of my heroes have already gone. People like Jack Fancy, but people like Don Trimper, people like Danny Gibson, people like my pa. And even this week, as we did the anniversary of D-Day, you guys know that I'm a history buff. And I found myself staying up late watching some of the D-Day celebrations and thinking, Lord, thank you for that generation that did so much for us. They should be our heroes. Well, another question that I have for you this morning, again, I'm just trying to get you to think. I'm trying to get the brain kicked in. I wanted to ask you, what are your goals in life? What are your goals? And again, it's kind of interesting that as we grow and as we mature, those things change as well. But if I, you know, think back when I was a kid, what were my goals? My goals were to play in the NHL. And at one point in my life, I was so certain that I was gonna play in the NHL and it was gonna be awesome and I was gonna be famous and rich and it was just gonna be a good thing. I'm certain that that's what God wanted for me. And then as I became a teen, well, you know what? My goals changed again. And my goals as a teen still involve Samantha Fox, but I can't talk about that this morning, right? Right? I got that poster, right? I mean, I stayed up late a lot of times just looking at her saying, Lord, do you answer prayer, right? So there was a lot of theological things that I learned then too. And then I remember as a young man when I was thinking, what are my goals? My goals when I became a young man, I remember this so clearly like it was yesterday. My dad, who's gone to glory, he sat me down as a young man and he said, son, he said, the biggest decision that you will now make next to Jesus. And he knew where I was with the Lord. He said, so next to Jesus, the biggest decision that you are ever going to make, he says, is the woman that you hope marries you. And he says, you know what? He said, son, he said, she will either make your life heaven or she will make your life hell. So choose wisely. And shortly after that, I found Allison. And shortly after that, I got rid of my Samantha Fox poster. Right? Right? Like all those things were happening so fast in this idea of goals. Right? I've offered to Allison, we could do a photo shoot. Like she could wear that same sequence bodysuit, but she's not. See? She even said no right from the back. Like, I'll keep working on her. It's been over 20 years, but she still says no, right? Yeah, there you go, right? And now I think of my goals as an older guy, right? Again, they've changed. You know why? Because my goals today really don't have to do with this world anymore. Like, it's amazing how life changes us, how maturity changes us. You know, my goals today have everything to do with this verse that says, seek first His kingdom. And the older I get, the more clear the kingdom becomes to me. So think about that. How is your life changing kingdom things? Because it's interesting to me, we talked about it last week. What in the world are we going to leave behind in this life? The answer is clear. It's everything. You are going to leave absolutely everything behind, Larry, so you don't need to scooch down when I talk about money. The only thing, now listen to this, the only thing that we can take with us is the souls of those we point to eternity and the Savior that rules over it all. You see, but the world we live in doesn't get that. Because the world we live in doesn't have a kingdom focus. They have a king focus, but the king focus is all developed around self, and it's not the kingdom at all. And so we live in a world that can't understand that idea. We live in a world that is busy building their own kingdoms when they don't even understand that they're being built in the sand. You see, we have people who long so bad for fame. In fact, one of the things that we do in the summer, again, we have such a busy schedule, so we tape a lot of TV, and when we get home as a family and everything is said and done, and we have an evening, well, then we'll try to watch things and fast forward. And so the other night, we were watching America's Got Talent. How many people have ever seen that show, right? It's one of those funny shows, especially the audition shows. Like, we don't care when there's 18 singers and they're all going to make it to the end and some singer's going to win. Ooh, big surprise, right? But America's Got Talent is really fun whenever it's in the audition stages. And the other night I was thinking, I say, man, how sad is it that the number one show in the summer in our world is all about people chasing fame, right? That's what they're doing. They're chasing fame and fortune. And so there was this group of girls that came on the other week. And again, I don't know if you saw this, but they were like 10 to 12 years old, all of them. And they were dressed to the hilt, and their bellies were hanging out, and they had all the dance moves down, right? Like, it was kind of crazy. And I was thinking, wow, here they are. They called themselves G-Force, I'm assuming for Girl Force, right? And they got up there, and they did a fantastic job, but their song was all about what the world is chasing. And the chorus went like this. They said, break the internet, we going viral. So again, they need some skills on language, right? But anyway, break the internet, we going viral, don't be jealous because we just girls. I have English teachers back in my history that are rolling over in the grave, okay? Break the internet, we going viral, don't be jealous because we just girls. We not teens yet, but we still gonna break the bank. And they got to that chorus, and I was watching it with Ella, and I love watching Ella. Because Ella is hilarious. Some of you know that. Some of you don't know that. She's very quiet, but she's one of my favorite people in the world because she's so funny, right? And so anyway, they're singing this chorus, right? Here they are. Break the internet, we going viral. Don't be jealous because we just girls. We not teens yet, but we still going to break the bank. And Ella just rolls her eyes. Rolls her eyes. And all this powerful woman that is here today was so disgusted with culture, right? And she just goes, ugh, they're so thirsty for fame, right? And so I'm giggling watching her watch that, right? But that's our world, right? I've talked about this before. It's the same thing. Why in the world would Tiger Woods have multiple back surgeries and knee surgeries to get back on the greens? You know, and you think about this. Does Tiger Woods need the money? No. Even after his divorce, you want to know what his estimated net worth is today? $800 million. $800 million. So does he need to play golf? No. Why in the world would he ever risk his mobility? And the answer is simple. It's what the world chases. It's for fame. He wants records. You know, Jack Nicklaus, one of the greatest golfers of all time, has the most major wins in golf history with 18. Tiger has 15, but it's not enough for Tiger to have 15 while Jack has 18. So he puts his body at risk every day, surgery after surgery after surgery, because he's chasing the record. You see, the world seeks immortality, but they refuse to bow to the author of life. Francis Chan, again, I've used this quote, guys. He says in his book, Crazy Love, our greatest fear should not be of failure, but of succeeding at things in life that don't really matter. He goes on to say, do you know that nothing you do in this life will ever matter unless it is about loving God and loving the people that he has made? That statement is so bold, and how in the world could Francis Chan ever say that? He understands this truth, that the only thing we take with us are the souls of those we point to eternity and the Savior that rules over it all. Seek first the kingdom. You know, I ask you guys this question all of the time, but how has eternity changed because you've been given another year on planet Earth? Because one day, this will all pass. What are we taking with us? And how in the world do we keep that focus? You know, again, we talked about how the world is chasing those things. They're chasing fame. They're chasing records. And with all of these distractions, it is some hard for even the church to stay focused. I hope that you understand that, right? And again, it's kind of interesting to me when we think that is heaven always on our mind? Well, the answer, if we're going to be honest this morning, is no. Heaven is not always on our mind, right? The only time that we could say that is if our head was being held underwater by somebody more powerful than us and we found out that the breath that we had taken before we got pushed under is insufficient to sustain, right? That would be the moment when heaven would be on our mind, right? It's like, oh, and you can't get out of the water, and you know that your life is coming to an end. Well, then all of a sudden, absolutely everybody thinks about eternity. But you know, even in the church, there are times where we neglect kingdom things. And it's amazing to me because a lot of times, even in the church, like Allison talked about, that we put on this idea that we need to perform. You You know, we may have the God of all of the universe living in our lives, but there is sometimes we, the church, lose focus. And don't get me wrong, we're glad that we're heaven-bound. We're glad for the healings that we receive. We're glad for the blessings. We rejoice to feel His presence. But oftentimes, God, even in the church, becomes about what we can gain and get, doesn't He? That we treat God like the genie in the bottle, that if we rub Him, hopefully He will give us the things that we want. And think about this logically. We seek Him, don't we? But we seek Him most when we need Him, don't we? And I want to challenge you on that, because even heathens do that, right? We seek when we're sick, but again, when everybody's sick, they start to pray, don't they? We seek when we're threatened or scared. We seek when our lives are drawing to an end. But again, like think about that. We even have a name for it, deathbed conversions. Like, that's sad, but it happens. That we get so busy in this life that we forget to seek first the kingdom. So how in the world do we stay focused on seeking the kingdom? Well, the truth lies in this second part that says, seek also His righteousness. And His righteousness is where we will stay focused. Did you know that righteousness is one of the chief attributes of God the Father? The Hebrew text is full of the word, right? When you think of Phil here today, he oozes music, he thinks music, he plays music, he's got a room for music downstairs, he's got so many guitars, I can't say this on the podcast because Mary will find out and kill him. Because music is part of who Phil is, isn't it? It's his core. It's all about who, what he desires and what he loves. Well, you know what? When we talk of this idea of righteousness, do you know that that is who God is? He is righteous? That if you want to go to the center of God, to the squishy center of where God resides, the truth is that He is righteous, He is holy, He is perfect, He is awesome. And how do we know that? The righteousness of God was revealed upon the cross itself. And here's the thing that I see sometimes in the church. You know what? We say, well, I'm seeking God. Well, we should be seeking His righteousness because our motives for seeking God are often flawed. We say, okay, what is God's will for my life? Well, does that sound like a good question? Well, sure. And you've probably asked that question, but that's the wrong question here this morning. Why do I say that? What is God's will for my life? Here, that question takes the focus off of God and puts it again back onto you. Think about it. The times that we've prayed, what does God want for my life? Oh, what does God have planned for me? And I say it with that kind of whiny voice because that's the way I think sometimes we, the church, say it. And here's the truth this morning, that good things, those are good questions. What does God have for my life? What is God's plan for me? That's a good question, but that's a good question that becomes enemy of the best question. Because the reality is there's too many times that we are distracted and it's self that is still on the throne. And there is no righteousness of God in that. You want to know what the right question is what is God's will, period. Why do I say that? I say that because then the focus remains on the Father. The focus remains on the Father. And nothing of God is lost when we seek His righteousness because it is who God is, that He is right in a world that is wrong, that He is truth in a world of truthisms. And that's why Jesus wanted us to hunger and thirst after righteousness, like He said in Matthew 5, because He understood that that's the center of His dad. This is my favorite quote. You guys have heard it before. A.W. Tozer, The Pursuit of God. The evil habit of seeking God and effectively prevents us from finding God in full revelation. In the end lies our great woe. If we would omit the end, We shall soon find God, and in him we shall find that for which we have all of our lives been secretly longing. You see, it's not about God and his will for me. It's not about God and his plans for me. It's not about God and his healing. It's not about God and his blessing. It's about God, period. And we would omit the end. And when that happens, we not only seek the kingdom, but we stay focused because we seek his righteousness. And you and I are left out of it. That's when things become clear, folks. You see, we know that God already desires us, don't we? He proved it on the cross and the tomb. So the real question this morning is, do you desire him? Not your will, not the plan for your life, not the blessings or the healing. Do you desire him? Seek the kingdom and seek his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. Everybody stand with me. Everybody just bow your heads. You see, when we seek the kingdom, we confess to God that the only thing that we're taking out of this world is the souls that we point to God the Father. And when we are found seeking his righteousness, the very essence and foundation of who God is, then guess what? We will see the big picture and remain focused. So here's my question to you today for each heart. Again, every head bowed and every eye closed. Are you kingdom-minded? Or are you building castles in the sand? Because what are you leaving behind? You are leaving everything behind. And the only thing that we can take with us are the souls of those that we point to the Savior of the universe. And there's so many times, even the church, we're guilty of building castles in the sand. And there's going to be those who miss out on eternity because we have been so distracted. So let me ask you again, how has heaven changed because you've been given another year on planet Earth? Maybe you're here today and you'd say, Andrew, I've been seeking the kingdom, but it's been so hard because I keep on taking back the throne of my life. Like I'm seeking the kingdom and I'm doing my best, but so often it becomes about me, God's plan for my life. What does God want for me? You know, those are the wrong questions. Good questions, but questions that ultimately become the enemy of the best. Maybe you're in here and you'd say, Andrew, I've lost a little bit of focus. And what happens when we lose focus? You too get distracted. And then all of a sudden, the effectiveness that the Holy Spirit longed for that day becomes negated. Why? Because of your disobedience. Because you are off chasing shiny things instead of God alone. Maybe you are here today and you'd say, Andrew, I'm seeking kingdom things, but I need to do it seeking his righteousness because there's times I'm losing focus. My prayer, Father God, this is it. Would we, your people, be found seeking the kingdom? To seek first kingdom things. And to do it in your righteousness. To seek your righteousness. To seek your very center. And Father God, would it stop being about me? Would it stop being about us? Would it stop being about the church? Would it stop being about denominations? Would it stop being about anything less than you? For you are the only one worthy of all of our praise. So Father God, kick what needs to be kicked, mold what needs to be bold, crush what needs to be crushed today. And Father God, I pray your blessing over all of your people in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you.